Good morning, Maranatha. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable, and it is time for Sunday Morning Alive right here on our website, a Sunday morning sermon. If you're in a situation where you can't fellowship with other believers in a Bible-believing Bible, I didn't say any church. You know, there's a lot of churches you should honestly stay away from. And I'm not saying that ours is the only one that you should come to, because certainly that's impossible. But I'm telling you one thing for sure. You need to get in a Bible-believing Bible teaching without apology church that will stay true to the Word of God and present the whole counsel of God, not just what's trending, but what is true. Because it's truth that sets us free, and it's truth that keeps us free today. And the Holy Spirit, thank God, is the Spirit of truth, who's come to guide us into all truth, not just the parts of it that, is popular among certain quarters, but all the truth of God. What God is going to confirm when it says He confirms His Word is the whole counsel, not bits and pieces of it that we find more palatable than other parts of it. You have to take the whole of it to know the whole truth. I kind of like what they used to say in courtrooms. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? You see, friend of mine, every preacher of the gospel, teacher of the scriptures, should be committed to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. That means don't leave out anything either. Amen. If it's not the whole truth, if something that is true biblically is left out conveniently because we don't want to rock the boat, ruffle the feathers. I like what one preacher said. He said, when I preach many times, if you preach the whole truth, people are going to say you're rubbing the cat the wrong way. And he answered this way. He said, then turn the cat around. In other words, get a heart for the truth. If you have nothing to hide, amen, and you love God and you want to please Him and be ready for the coming of Jesus, we need to hear the truth today. Nothing but the truth. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right. Well, let's get into the truth. Let's get into the Word today. The sermon today that we're going to bring you is the Holy Spirit seals. The Holy Spirit sealed us. We've had something that is so basic and fundamental, and yet it's become so impactful to us, an interpretation of tongues at the end of a very anointed service where the Lord said, I want to save you. I want to seal you with the Holy Spirit, and I want to keep you safe from the wrath to come. Friend of mine, these three points that God is reiterating, this is fundamental stuff. This is basic, foundational. But I'm going to tell you something. If the foundations be destroyed, what shall the righteous do? These foundations are very important. And the Bible says we're not to keep laying foundations, overlaying foundation upon foundation upon foundation, like some people harp on certain foundational issues, and they never build on that. So people stay on the foundation. They never get completed in Christ. We're to build on that foundation. But in order to build on it, we have to lay it and then build on that foundation of God's truth. And this is fundamental. God wants to save the lost. And God wants to seal those who saves. He saves with and by the Holy Spirit. And therefore, He wants to keep us safe from the wrath to come. Why? Because the Scripture is very clear, we are not appointed to wrath. I'd like a hallelujah as well as an amen on that. As we see what is coming during the tribulation, what is going to be happening to people who are left here to experience that? Thank God every day that we are saved, we are sealed by the Holy Spirit, and we are therefore safe from the wrath to come. Hallelujah. Friend of mine, listen, if the streets were not jasper, I love that song. I used to sing it. Don't be afraid. I'm not going to try to do that here today. But I used to have a singing voice that wasn't as bluesy and raspy as it's become from preaching the gospel for almost 50 years. I'll take the raspy voice anytime in order to share the gospel down through the centuries. I'm not that old. Down through the decades. Hallelujah. For half a century. But listen, if the streets were not jasper, and the gates, if the walls were not jasper and the streets were not gold, if mansions should crumble and people still grow old, I'd still see everything that my soul longs to see, because if Jesus is there, it will be heaven for me. Hallelujah. Listen, God is calling us to get close to Him, and He's calling those who do not know Him to come to Him and be saved, sealed, and safe from the wrath to come, so that He can keep us in this very, very desperate time, end time, last day time that we are living in, when many are falling away. It is predicted, it is prophesied, therefore it is verified in Scripture. That day shall not come except there come a falling away first. Amen. Friend of mine, this is no time to be going with the trend away from God, not only in the world that is pushing back about the very knowledge of God Himself, and certainly the Bible and the gospel and Christian values and Christian morals as biblically stated, Judeo-Christian ethic, it is called, that has been the foundation of our nation and brought the blessing upon it. Friend of mine, look around today. Look what's happening in their major cities and around our nation and around the world. This is a world in rebellion against God. And because we're pushing God back and out of the collective consciousness, something and someone is filling that gap. That someone is Satan and his cohorts. Listen, today it is time that we know where we stand in Christ, and we stand tall and strong and without apology, not being vindictive or vengeful or revenge-driven, not trying to get the upper hand, the last word, but just standing on the Word. Hallelujah. That will separate you from the world. Because you say, like I've said many times, people ask me, preacher, if I come to Christ, will I have to give up my sinner friends? No, dear friend, you come to Christ and follow Him, they'll give you up. Amen. But listen, you can be the key to their salvation if they see the change in you and see you committed enough to the faith to keep the faith, and that the faith that delivers us from the damnation and hell that is awaiting the lost and the undone and the unsaved, they see you. Consider the faith of the gospel that critical and important, that you love them. You would love to have a relationship with them, but you will not compromise your faith to do that because you're praying for them and you want them to go to heaven with you. Well, that's another subject, but I'm glad we're peeling back the layers of our generation and where we are prophetically and what we need to be doing in light of our knowledge of the soon coming of Jesus and the day of the Lord. The Holy Spirit seals us. And this is what we want to talk about. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. It says, in whom also after that you believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And verse 14 is real important because it says, which is the earnest of our inheritance. Literally, that's the down payment, the earnest money. We call it down payment now on a home or an automobile or a leased automobile. Listen, this down payment is the earnest of our inheritance. It's the down payment on that we are destined to receive if we keep the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. God grants unto us. He sees that we are committed to that. He grants unto us the down payment on heaven. Says it again loud and clear in 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 22. God hath also sealed us and given us, there's that word for down payment, the earnest of the Spirit, capital, in our hearts. This sealing process establishes ownership and authenticity. Ownership and authenticity. Say that with me. Ownership and authenticity. They had trusted Jesus. Now they are sealed by the Holy Spirit. John Owen puts it this way. God's sealing of believers is His gracious communication of the Holy Ghost to them. Hallelujah. This word sealed in the Greek means signet, or the impression made by this seal, to mark as a means of identification. The dominant idea of seal is that it is a mark of ownership. The Scriptures tell us very clearly we are bought with a price, and we are not our own. That's why we're encouraged to acknowledge that and offer our body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. Amen. The dominant idea of the seal is that it's a mark of ownership. One of the disconcerting scriptures to me that troubles me is when Jesus is talking about people that will face Him as judge and not as their Savior. When He comes to judge the earth, and He is coming to judge the earth according to the book of Revelation. Amen. They were fleeing from Him that sits upon the throne. They were running to the rocks and the mountains and crying, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of Him that sits upon the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb." The Bible says that God has committed judgment to the Son. That's why when John saw Him in the book of Revelation, they didn't see the Jesus. He didn't see the Jesus that allowed them to take Him to the cross as the Lamb of God. He saw Jesus as the judge coming to judge the earth. His hair, white as wool. His eyes as a flame of fire. Not X-ray vision, yes. He sees the heart. Yes, He looks past all of the outward professions and sees the heart directly. Yes, He does. But those eyes He's looking at, represented by eyes as a flame of fire, the actual Greek would connotate fiery indignation. It means that He is coming to execute the wrath of God. It is His sacrifice and His blood that has been rejected. And now He's coming to judge the wicked, not to save them. Right now He stands as Savior in heaven, sits as Savior in heaven. But He's coming back as Sovereign King of Kings and Lord of Lords and to judge the earth. The wrath of the Lamb sounds like an oxymoron. It sounds like something that is contradictory to each other, but it isn't. Because He is the Lamb of God that gave Himself to save every person on this planet who will recognize their lost condition, respond to conviction, repent of their sin, and accept Him as their Savior. But to reject His offer of salvation means we will not have Him as our Savior. We will face Him as our judge. And whatever they saw on that day, according to the book of Revelation, they would rather have a mountain of rocks fall upon them just to hide them from the face of Him that sits upon the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. And the next verse of Scripture says, "And who shall be able to stand?" Well, it's a rhetorical question biblically. No one that has not been washed in the blood, saved by the blood of the Lamb, and sealed by the Holy Spirit. will be safe from the wrath to come. No one outside of Christ will be able to stand, because there's one God, one mediator between God and man, and that is Jesus Christ. And there's no other name, no other name given under heaven to men by which we must be saved. So the Bible makes it real narrow. It's purposely done not to keep us out of heaven, to make sure we're on the road to heaven. Praise God. There's a ditch on either side, and there's a broad way that leads to destruction. Pick your religion. Pick your path. It's a trending, popular message today. It doesn't matter which God you choose as long as you're faithful to Him. That's not true biblically. It is not accurate. There's a broad way that leads to hell, and evidently a lot of people, even that say they're believers upon Jesus, are going to miss heaven. Because Jesus said, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord. So this got to be the Christian faith, and within the context of the Christian faith, not pagans and false gods. This is people who are claiming the true God. Many, many. That's what bothers me. It's not an aberration. It's not just a few. It's many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord. So obviously they think they're saved until they stand before Him as their judge instead of their Savior. Lord, Lord, we've done mighty works in Your name. We've cast out devils in Your name. And I will say to them, depart from me, you that work iniquity. I never knew you. I never knew you. I never acknowledged you as mine. You never truly got saved. Don't let some priest, don't let some preacher, don't let some prophet, don't let some evangelist, don't let me tell you you're saved without the witness of the Spirit and the truth of the Word of God to verify that. Don't allow that. Don't listen. I believe the devil would rather you have a false sense of security than the real security of knowing by the Word of God and by the Spirit of God that you are a child of God. Are you trying to shake my faith? No, I'm trying to get it so Christianized that nothing and no one can shake it. Where you spend eternity is too important to hope so. You need to know so. I love what is in 1 John where it says, I've written these things unto you that you might know that you have eternal life. Amen. The Bible goes on to say His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So we need this sealing of the Holy Spirit in order to know that we know that we know that we belong to Him. He acknowledges them that are His. He knows them that are His. So the dominant idea of seal is that of ownership. And when He seals you, it means He recognizes you, acknowledges you as His own here and now. That's why we know we can live with Him in heaven forever, even when heaven comes down in the holy city coming down. Praise God. Romans 8 and verse 9 says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of His. He doesn't belong. I'm not talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit in the charismata, the gifts of the Spirit, this power for service. I'm talking about this person who marks us as God's. Thank God we have the Holy Spirit. And God now speaks of us as His very own. 2 Timothy 2:19 is very clear. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are His. How does He know? Because He sealed us with the Holy Spirit, marked us as His own. The Amplified says, having this inscription. And this word inscription means to print or engrave upon a surface. Look what the Lord has said, how He identifies His own in Isaiah 49:15, even in the Old Covenant. He says, can a woman forsake her suckling child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have craven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. This word craven in the Hebrew means to carve or to cut into. And the implication of this verse is clear, that God is inseparably united to His people, and He knows His own. Hallelujah. Listen, Ephesians 1:14 says, which is the earnest of our inheritance, which means a legal or commercial term. It means first installment or deposit, the down payment or the pledge, or a part given in advance of the full that will be given afterwards. And that is the mighty work of the Holy Spirit in our life. I like what the Bible scholar Beam, the theologian, writes about that. He said, the Spirit whom God has given them is for Christians the guarantee of their full possession of future salvation. That's the guarantee we have right here and right now, that we're going to live with God forever in heaven. And when heaven comes down through the Holy Spirit, in a sense, He is heaven coming down, because it's God coming to indwell us. But the holy city itself is coming down. Where God is where we're going to be throughout all eternity. We have God's seal. We bear His mark, His brand. He will not forget us nor forsake us. In the modern Greek, this word came to be used for an engagement ring. Amen. The Holy Spirit is given as an engagement ring, sealing our betrothal to Christ. The Apostle Paul put it this way in the Word, I have betrothed you to Jesus Christ by my gospel, by the Word of God and the good news of Jesus. I have betrothed you to Christ. Hallelujah. Keeping this engagement ring, the Holy Spirit dwelling ungrieved and unquenched in our hearts, assures us of final union with the Lord at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Praise God. We're betrothed today. We are the virgins waiting for the bridegroom to come and take us home. Our lamps are full of the oil of the Spirit, and they are ready to be trimmed and burning when the cry is given, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Oh, Christian today, isn't it good to be saved? Isn't it good to be sealed and have God's acknowledgement of you? That when you stand before Jesus, not at that white throne judgment where He has come to judge the earth, but when He judges us for our life here as Christians, it's not a heaven or hell issue. It's being ashamed or rewarded. We stand before Him, and one thing we will have that will give us such such a blessing is that we will have His acknowledgement of us as our children, as His children, because He has given us the earnest of the Spirit. There's nothing like this blessed assurance. Blessed assurance, the songwriter wrote, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, and washed in His blood. This is blessed assurance today. There's nothing like this. Nothing like this. When I lay my head down at night, I know I belong to Him, and He acknowledges me, and He's given me the Holy Spirit as the earnest of my inheritance as a child of the living God. All children of God, rejoice today, because you have been saved, sealed by the Spirit, and therefore you're safe from the wrath to come. My brother and my sister, it's coming. That's why the Bible said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but much more, as you see the day approaching. We are not children of the darkness, nor of the night, that day should overtake us as a thief. But we are children of the light, and we are children of the day, and we're to walk as children of the day. Hallelujah. Live our life in holy anticipation, the soon coming of our Redeemer and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, if you don't know Him as your Lord and Savior, He's calling you. I know He's calling you. I know that the Holy Spirit is calling you to come to Jesus. Don't run from Him. Don't follow the world into perdition and into lostness, into darkness, into Satan's prison awaiting the final judgment. He wants to take as many people to hell with Him as He can, not for the big party, but just for the sick sense of comfort that I'm not the only one. Look at all these wicked people with me. What kind of fate is awaiting Him? He knows what is coming. It's time we are made aware of that, and we make sure that we're in the ark of safety, that we are saved, sealed by the Holy Spirit, and safe from the wrath to come. So come to Jesus today. Run to Jesus today. Repent of your sin. Receive Him as your Savior. For the storm is coming. The storm clouds are building. The day of the Lord hasteneth greatly, and the Lord Jesus is coming soon. You can be ready, and you can go with us when He comes, and be safe with Him from the wrath to come. In Jesus' name, amen.